Gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. Proud to be coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. So thankful for your belief and your trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together, as we navigate through the so-called fake news. You know, the fake news narrative is getting old, isn't it? The accusations of false news as it relates to the independent media, getting old. The accusations of fraudulent news, getting old. The accusations that you can only get your news from certain sources, getting old. Well, we're here to change that, and we're here to bring you the real news, the news behind the headlines, the news that you need to know. I have a very important announcement for you. Of course, you know, by way of introduction, for those new to the program, and we're picking up new listeners all of the time, we do broadcast weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Global Star Radio Network, also on BTR, Blog Talk Radio, as well as YouTube Live. But Global Star Radio Network, what a great place to be. And, they really, we're very proud to be a part of the network, Global Star Radio Network. Now, we've got two separate websites, Hagmann Report, .com. That's HagmannReport.com. Of course, you got to go there for news information analysis, and of course, Hagmann and Hagmann.com for show information. Lady, the studio dog, is here with me, right by my desk. I assume with Greg Jackson. Gunner is with Greg at some point, or within arm's reach. I'm sure Greg's going to be coming on here shortly. I have an announcement to make as we speak right now. Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Mike Zullo are giving a press conference about the legitimacy or lack thereof of the federal document that was posted to whitehouse.gov website. Now, please understand what I'm saying. I'm being very careful with my words. The federal document that purports to be the official certified, authenticated, long-form certificate of live birth of Barack Hussein Obama that was posted to the White House website a couple of years ago. The news conference is being held right now, the final one by Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Mike Zullo. We are going to have Mike Zullo and Carl Gallops on tomorrow night's program. I would like everyone to please let everyone know at 8 o'clock Eastern Time tomorrow, Mike Zullo and Carl Gallops will be on to talk about exactly what they're talking about today. Now, I just got out of my office and was watching the live news conference. They showed a video. The bottom line is this. It's a fraudulent document. End of story. The document, the certificate of live birth, is a fraudulent document. The source document used for Obama's document has been identified. What that means, I mean, there's a lot. We're going to wait for Mike Zullo to explain this, but the source document for Barack Hussein Obama's document that appears on the WhiteHouse.gov website has been identified.
So it belonged to another party?
Well, yeah.
And it was then used as the template to create?
In part, yes.
Okay.
It's a little bit more convoluted than that, and it's one, the source document belongs to Ani. The woman, who Jerome Corsi had met with and spoken to. Now, she is not, and let me repeat this, she is not a suspect. Everyone clear on that, right? She's not a suspect. Ani is not a suspect. However, she was identified by Mike Zullo as an investigative lead. Channel 15 out of Arizona is running with this. ABC News is running this live as we speak.
You won't find it on NBC or CBS.
Yeah. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, this is important news. And you might think this is old news. Who cares? What difference does it make? Ah! Yeah. Whether it was from a video or from just guys out taking a walk, what difference is... I can't do her voice. So, anyway, no, it makes a lot of difference because there is intent here and there's a lot of criminality. So, again, Friday, December 16th, 2016, Mike Zullo, Carl Gallup's, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, this program to dig further, provide further information into the conference he's giving now live. That's ABC is carrying it. ABC Channel 15 out of Arizona is carrying it. But through a meticulous investigation, it was, and after a team of forensic investigators had gone through this, there's information that was disclosed today that was not disclosed prior. We could not. There are some things we had that we could not say. There are 9 points of verified forgery on this document. It is not a valid document. Not that that should come as a surprise to anyone.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because disclosed in this by a team of forensic investigators, including a team out of Italy and out of Europe, a source document from the Ani, the Ani birth certificate, does cast a little bit of a different complexion on this. More on that tomorrow night. Portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Omaha Steaks, omahasteaks.com. That's right, omahasteaks.com. Get, folks, if you haven't done so already, go to omahasteaks.com, HH in the search bar, order up, and just have at it. omahasteaks.com, HH in the search bar. More on that later. With us now is Greg Jackson. I'm going to toss it to Joe. I just want everyone to remember, tomorrow night, Mike Zullo, Carl Gallup's here. More on that. And watch also... Folks, if I can, if the people can keep me upright and breathing, I'm going to be providing some inside baseball information on in advance of the interview tomorrow. It's hopefully I'm going to send it to Steve Quayle, and also it'll be on, I believe, Canada Free Press, and also on HagmanReport.com. So anyway, Joe Matos. So,
yeah, keep your eyes open on Hagman Report for that investigative piece. Folks, joined with us now is author of 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, Greg Jackson. And it's been a while since we've had Greg on, or it seems like it's been a while. And Greg's going to come on tonight, and we're going to talk about a number of issues. The post-Trump election, what we see going on in our political world as far as this desperate attempt by the left to try to delegitimize Trump's election, and you know, from the recount to the intelligence briefing that they're all waiting on to see if hacking from Russia was involved in the election, to the disruption of Inauguration Day. So with that, Greg, welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, Greg. Where's Gunner?
Thanks for having me. Can you guys see me okay?
We can hear you fine.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you all right. It's a little muffled.
I want to make sure.
If you
a little muffled?
There you go. If you don't touch it, it sounds good.
So don't touch it.
Back drop it and back slowly away from it.
Okay, because this is our first Skype interview, guys.
It is. Right? Yeah, it is.
Okay. Hey, by the way, if Eric could turn down Doug your microphone a little bit. It's a little loud in my ears. Joe's ears is just fine. But regardless, hey, guys, thank you so much for having me on. Boy, what a show tomorrow night's going to be with Mike Zullo and our good friend Pastor Gallup. That is going to be phenomenal. Who was that, your daughter?
Yeah, that was Jackie.
She's just looking in on you.
She's coming to say hi.
Just tell him, hey, Jackie, good to see you. Haven't seen you since Dallas. But it'll be interesting to hear that. Now, we've known for how many years, Doug and Joe, that we've had an imposter in the White House, that a man by the name of Barry Satoro with no credentials. Nobody even knows anything about the guy, who he dated in high school, or, you know, where his favorite pizza place was. And yet he goes by the name of Barack Obama, which, again, and he has a Social Security number of a dead man in Connecticut. Now I can't see you guys for whatever reason.
Yeah,
can you still hear me though, guys? We're good.
Yeah,
okay.
We turn the bandwidth the video off on our end to save on bandwidth and make sure that the Skype comes through as clear as possible.
Okay, perfect. No worries. As long as you can hear me, okay.
Yeah.
It's really sad, isn't it, guys, that Mike Zullo and Sheriff Joe Arpaio have to go to these lengths, and Pastor Gallup's, to basically expose what we've known. It's been so obvious for so long, with the forged document that the White House put on their website a couple of years back. But at any rate, it'll be exciting to hear what they say. What'll be more interesting to me, guys, is what will the new Trump administration be sworn into office, things go well, what will his attorney general do? I mean, what will the Trump administration do with that information? And what do you guys think?
Well, you know, there's a number of possibilities. We see Trump picking his cabinet, and the blowback that he is getting from the political left, from the picking of the military generals. Some say he's setting up some kind of totalitarian government where the military is going to be in charge. And then you have people like Rex Tillerson, who's the CEO of ExxonMobil, being picked as the Secretary of State. And it seems like at every turn there is, I mean, since the primary, his nomination after the primaries till now with his cabinet picks, there is pushback at every turn. And one of the big things I think we need to watch is we saw Time Magazine call for all Hillary Clinton voters, 65 million of them, to not pay taxes. We've seen Michael Moore and other organizations come out and say disrupt the Trump nomination at the inauguration. And he is facing opposition like no other president in history that I can remember.
Yeah, but to get back to your question, I think to circle back around to what Greg asked is, you know, what will Trump do with respect to Obama? I think that was your question, right?
Yeah, I'm just...
I'm not sure.
Is he really going to drain the swamp and investigate and prosecute? And because, I mean, if there's substantiated evidence that we have an imposter that's been inhabiting the White House for 8 years, signing into law as a usurper legislation, whether it's Obamacare or any other laws or executive orders that he's put his name to, the question is, you know, what needs to be done? I mean, to me, that's an act of treason. I mean, that's a clear-cut act of treason, and he should be prosecuted to the fullest extent. And he should go to jail.
What we're seeing with the opposition to Trump, everything that's being thrown at him and all the people that are coming after him, I believe he is just trying to get inaugurated, without any kind of hassle, without any incident. And I believe that once he is in the office of president, no longer President-elect Trump, but President Trump, then I believe we will start to see some of his plans to walk back Obama policies and to further look into the crimes of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the case. And, of course, you guys have done a great job over the past couple of weeks talking about this, most notably with Paul McGuire the other night. And I thought Paul did a phenomenal job presenting the big picture and really talking, and that's one of the things that really was on my heart that I want to talk about with you guys tonight in regards to Trump, in regards to his significance, and not really necessarily getting into the minutiae of, you know, this administrative pick for this slot and all of the positive points and negative points about all the individual picks for his administrative cabinet level picks. But more in terms of the big picture, what Paul McGuire, for anybody listening, I think it was Tuesday night, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but if you didn't listen to Tuesday night's show, I highly advise listening to the last 2 hours, I believe, with Paul McGuire, because it really gives a great big picture overview from a biblical spiritual perspective in terms of where we are right now and how Christians are really supposed to discern the times and act in the times in which we're living. And I thought it was a very balanced, very incisive, and very cogent analysis. And I wanted to provide a little surround sound tonight because, you know, Doug, your guess is as good as mine and Joe as to how, you know, what is Trump going to do if and when he takes office. And I do think that there are legitimate questions in regards to the type of rhetoric that we're hearing right now about killing Trump and, you know, by all means necessary, ensuring that he doesn't, take the White House and isn't sworn in. And I think when you consider the big picture, isn't it revealing, at least it is to me, that really, regardless of what Trump is going to do, and I don't know, I'm not Nostradamus, I don't have a crystal ball, only God knows, but he did allow him, because God says in the book of Romans says that God allows. He handpicks. He allows our leaders. There's nothing that gets by the God of the Bible. And so we know that God has allowed Donald Trump to become president, and just like he allowed Barack Obama to become president. And I believe, for different reasons, I believe that in many ways we had become an abomination in the eyes of the Lord, and he literally gave us over and made us an abomination. And in spite of the people who say that we're being given over, and this is what Paul McGuire was talking about, that there's no hope for America, I believe that we can't say that because we're not God and we can't play God and we have to leave room for grace. And even though it looks like, you know, essentially we're too far gone for any sort of reformation and revival and recovery in this nation, I believe that we get in dangerous waters when we attempt to play God, and I think that you guys would agree. We always have to leave room for His grace and for His mercy. And I think with Trump, really, it's really interesting, isn't it, guys? Because I think Trump is really revealing the hearts and motivations and of Americans in general. I mean, we're seeing divisiveness at a level that we've never seen in this country, that I've never seen. I think you guys would agree, within families and friends and in business and people choosing sides and the rhetoric was so fired up in the run-up to the election, I've never really seen anything like it. And I believe that God really has used Trump as a, John Robertson, whom I was talking to earlier today, has used this analogy, and I agree with it. Trump is like God's barometer. He is in a lot of ways. He's really showing a lot of people's motivations, their hearts, what's really inside them is coming out. And in the Bible, we see that there were two sects of religious people that despised Jesus. And they both teamed up against him. Now, they both had very tenets of belief. You had the Pharisees on one side. The Pharisees, of course, in Jesus' day, were very religious. And they believed in the resurrection. And they were very legalistic in their religious practices of the observant Jewish sect, a conservative sect. And then there was the Sadducees, where they didn't believe in the resurrection. I equate them, or would equate them, to the more liberal left, maybe even religious teachers of our day, or even those who don't even profess to be Christians. But that still are religious in a lot of sense and very legalistic. And so really, I think you see, don't you, the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming against, I mean, the viciousness of those on the right, the never Trumpers, the people who said, there's no way, Trump's not pure enough, he's too vulgar for me, there's no way I could ever support him. And, you know, these are even friends of ours who were really adamantly opposed and accused many of us of committing heresy by even talking about voting for Trump. And then you see on the other side, on the liberal left, those are the people who are going to the protests right now, you know, the progressive communist left, and they're the ones who are making the death threats. They're the ones that are going apoplectic right now, the Michael Moores of the world, who are basically saying, we need to pull out all the stops and stop this person. And they're talking, and it's really, guys, if you think about it, it's a spirit of insanity. It's a spirit of lawlessness and anger and deceit and violence that we're seeing. It's the very opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, when I was thinking about it today, I was thinking, wow, God is really revealing the hearts and the minds of many people in this country. And we could maybe hide before, but there's no hiding right now. And I think that this is probably a good thing. But there's one thing that really the Lord has laid on my heart, which is that I think the devil would like nothing more than for Christians to really hate those on the left, those that are making these vile, spewing the vileness and the death threats. Now, I'm not endorsing them by any stretch of the imagination, gentlemen, but I do believe that we have a tremendous opportunity to extend grace and mercy, and to pray for those who are in it, they're just deceived. Those who, and I believe the reason that they are deceived is that many of them don't have spiritual eyes to discern the times. They don't have the spiritual eyes to discern really what's taking place. And if I think back before I was saved, I was like many of those people, guys, and I think many of your listeners would probably agree with me that many of them are just deceived. And their religion, those on the left, their religion is their politics. That's why they're... Do you guys agree? I mean, their religion is politics.
Absolutely.
What do you guys think?
During this election cycle, before the general election, I got to, you know, there was a point where you see the Hillary signs and the meet people here and there who are voting for Hillary Clinton. And, you know, that made me really mad. It was like, how can you not see what's going on? Then I got to a point where I understood that I needed to let that anger go, to let that hostility and negative emotion go, because just as you said, they were deceived. Who in their right mind would vote for a person who advocates the murder of babies and who, I mean, just the laundry list of crimes and fraud and corruption that's associated with Hillary Clinton. There's no way, except if they're in bed with the Clintons, that people, regular people, would vote for her knowing the level of evil that she's involved in.
Oh, so yes, there would, though, Joe. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to not pile on, but just add on to what you're saying. What I have seen in the forums, for example, one of the forums that embraces the progressive element of society, Democratic Underground, which is a political forum, and it's a sewage pit of humanity, in my view. The anger there, the seething anger, not just of embracing the cult of death, but refusing to acknowledge it, ascribing it to Trump, and then maintaining that anger. So what you're saying is they're deluded. I'm saying, I'm not so sure. I think that it's not really a delusion as much as it is an agenda. And
I think it's a bit of both.
Okay,
and
perhaps.
At least for the people who are deceived, one thing that the Lord put in my mind is that these people need prayer, and that's about the only thing that we could do for them, that I could do for them, is pray that their eyes are opened. Now, at that point, if their eyes are opened and they still choose to support the Clinton and the Clinton machine, then there's, you know, that's an issue that they're going to have to deal with pertaining to the Lord themselves, and many of them don't believe in the Lord. But, you know, for those who are genuinely deceived, you know, prayer can help. But then there are those who don't want to know the truth. Then there are those who are, embrace evil and the evil that the Clintons bring. And we still have to pray for them as much as we might not want to. But it's just very sad to see so many people that either don't understand or embrace the evil that she brings.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you guys. And Doug, to answer your question, I'm glad you bring it up, because it's an important distinction that deserves some discussion, which is that there are nuances of people on all sides of the political spectrum. We can't paint with too broad of a brush. And for those on the left, there are people who are just totally given over, who are, their hearts are so hardened, and they've rejected the truth, and they are actively participating in deceiving others. And then there are those who are maybe even just remotely involved in politics. They don't know the issues as deeply, and they've just been deceived because they believed a bunch of lies, and it's through not necessarily any fault of their own. And I think those are the people that we really need to be patient with and pray for. But I think you're right, and I know that I hear the music in the background. Maybe when we pick it up, we can continue the conversation. Or at least I think I hear the music.
Yeah, you hear the music. We're going to the break. Folks, you're listening to Greg Jackson, GREGGJackson.com. His book, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die. He'll be with us into the next segment, and we will continue where we left off. Stay with us.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming back with Greg Jackson, our guest Greg Jackson. Greg, you're going to have to hit that, make sure your video is on there. Hit that little video icon there to make sure your video is on there. Make sure there's no line through that video icon. Before we get back to Greg, I want to mention that today is the last day for guaranteed arrival by Christmas for Greenovative. Now, folks, you never want to be without charge batteries again, and you never can. I mean, the GMAG power cell, you will never be without uncharged batteries again. Folks, when planning for a disaster, a must-have is a good supply of batteries. And you know, when you buy batteries from the store, you put them on the shelf, they slowly go dead. Or you leave that flashlight on, whatever. Suddenly you find yourself with no batteries. Well, we've got the solution. It's called the GMAG Power Cell. It's by Greenovative. It's a small company that makes this. It's a fantastic product. It's the neatest product I've ever seen, really. And it's a must-have for all preppers. Okay? So go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Or go to hagmanreport.com and click onto Greenovative. And get yourself a GMAG power cell. It weighs only 8 ounces. Makes power simply by adding salt and water to the unit. It's EMP safe. It's got an indefinite shelf life. It can charge an unlimited number of batteries, and it's made in the USA. So whether natural or man-made disaster strikes and you need power, you've got it. All you need to do is add a little bit of salt and a little bit of water. There you have it. And again, tonight at midnight is the last day that they can guarantee that these units will arrive, or if you buy a unit, it'll arrive by Christmas. So folks, get your unit from Greenovative today. Go to greenovative.com and purchase your unit, or go to hagmanreport.com and click on the link to Greenovative, but do it today. Then make sure you've got that special gift for that person in your life for Christmas. greenovative.com. And of course, make sure you tell them Hagman and the Hagman Report sent you. And by the way, 15% off for Hagman listeners of your entire purchase between now and Christmas. And again, this is the neatest thing I've ever seen. This battery charger. It's fantastic. So greeninnovative.com, 15% off, but order today for a guaranteed arrival by Christmas.
We're talking with Greg Jackson from gregjackson.com, author of 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die. Before the break, we were talking about Trump, and one of the opening questions this segment, Greg, is what do you think should be one of or some of the first actions Trump takes as president? Did we lose Greg?
Calling Greg. Let's see here. We're working
on.
Yeah, there we
there
go.
There we go.
Now we can.
Okay. And you guys aren't even loud. Now, how's that?
Sounds great.
Okay.
Now, but we can't see. I don't know if you're. If your camera's turned off there, Greg, but nonetheless, we'll just keep going through.
My camera's turned on.
There we go. There we go.
Hey, guys. Hi, audience.
There we go. So take it away, Greg.
Okay, yeah. Hey, sorry about that. First time on Skype, so or at least with you guys, so working out the kinks. But what I was saying earlier is that... And I think that you guys would agree that, I mean, we're living in, you know, times that, you know, in terms of the dissension and the vitriol, and it's only going to heighten. And I think the devil would like nothing more than for Christians to live in the flesh and to fight in the flesh. But the Bible tells us, and we know, that we wage not against the flesh, but against the powers and the principalities and the heavens above, and that's why being girded up and suited up in our spiritual armor is so important to fight these battles. And the devil wants us to get in the mud. The devil wants us to hate our enemies, but God tells us that we're to love our enemies. And that doesn't mean that we endorse what they do. It means that I believe that we bless those who curse us, the Bible says, and it will be like heaping burning coals on their head. And I believe that that's how we as Christians are to live. I mean, we know what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless. There's a whole host of adjectives, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving, good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Guys, those are the days in which we're living, and it's on the increase. And we also know that those who are called, those who are, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says that, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So if you're a Christian, be encouraged if you're being persecuted, because it's only going to increase. But the book of James tells us to consider it pure joy when we face these trials and these tribulations. And I believe that this is what an amazing opportunity, guys. And I believe that Donald Trump's presidency, his election, that God has given us a respite. He has given us a temporary a breather, a chance to, and I think that we should be grateful. Is Donald Trump perfect? No. Do I agree with, you know, all of his cabinet picks? No. But I believe that's a secondary issue. What I do believe is that we don't have a demon-possessed witch who is apparently involved in child sacrifice and who likes to drink human blood with her lech of a husband back in the East Wing. And I believe that we should be on our knees and very, very thankful that we have time, and that that Christians at least have a friend or appears to have a friend in the White House. And so I believe, as Paul McGuire was saying a couple of days ago, that we should be thankful and that we should continue to pray and fast, and that we should pray not only for our nation, but that we should pray for Donald Trump and I don't know what the spiritual state of the man's heart is. I don't know if he's saved, but let's pray that he does get saved, and let's come alongside him and pray for all those in governing positions that they would do the right thing in office. And people say, oh, Trump, he's He's too vulgar. He's, you know, that guy will make any sort of deal. And we don't know the heart of Donald Trump. We don't know who's surrounding him. I know that I was a wretch at one time in my life, and there was no hope for Greg Jackson. And people thought that I was going to probably, you know, end up in jail. And by God's grace, I didn't. And I know that, when there's God, there's hope. And when people surround you and pray for you, I know there was a lot of people praying for me. And I know that in 2001, when I became a Christian, was saved and born again, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ changed my heart and he changed my life. And I know that that same God is still alive and still in the same business of saving lost souls. And so I'm not giving up on Donald Trump. And I'm praying that there would be an awakening. And I know it's not going to come from the White House, but wouldn't it be great? And here's what's really on my heart that I want to share. You know, people say that Donald Trump needs to do all these things. And I know that he ran on closing down the borders, bringing jobs back to America, making America great again. I mean, I'm for America being great again as well. I mean, who's against that? Aside from your, you know, standard college professor. But I mean, I want America to be great again. I like to hang the flag out in front. I have pride in my country. For many years, I was guilty, I think, of elevating the flag above the cross. But by the same token, I still love America, and I still think that we're a great nation. And so all the evil deeds that we've done and have allowed to be done in our country, there's still, I believe, tens of millions of good Bible-believing Christians that are salt and light, and they're preserving our nation, and they've been praying for our nation. They've been fasting, and I believe that God has really answered our prayers, those of us who are on our knees and praying for a respite. And so I think that this is a real opportunity, and as much as people want Trump to do all these things, and I want him to close down the border and secure the border, I want him to put a suspension on bringing in Muslims into this country that are preaching jihad. I want Donald Trump to bring jobs back. But above all, guys, I got to tell you that I don't think any of that really matters unless the right to life for the unborn be restored. And I wrote an article. People can go to my website, gregjackson.com. I think you guys, John, I think posted it on your site. Called the Sanctity of Human Life a Proclamation. And it's basically what I encourage. It's on my website, Donald Trump, to say. I actually shared it with Kellyanne Conway. She's received it, and I believe she is passing it on to Donald Trump. And I believe that our friend Mike Huckabee, who also received it, is going to share it with him. And let's pray that it really convicts his heart, because I don't believe that you can build the wall 1,000 feet high. You can lower taxes down to 0%. You can bring all the jobs back. You can have the strongest military in the world. But if we continue to allow 4,000 preborn babies to be murdered in cold blood in our nation, I don't believe that there's any hope for this nation. The right to life, the restoration of the right to life to all innocent human persons must be restored. And I believe, and I've made the case for it, that if states won't do it, then it's incumbent upon the President of the United States as chief law enforcement officer to do it. And this is what I'm praying Donald Trump does, because if he could be the president that ends the abortion holocaust and restores the right to life in America, and if he did that, what a legacy that would be. And I believe that God would bless our nation beyond, above and beyond what we could ever imagine. What do you guys think?
Well, I think you're exactly right. It's obvious from even the Old Testament, the practice of devil worship by sacrificing children to Moloch. This is just a more progressive form of that through abortion and the murdering of babies on a much grander scale, a much more massive scale than what they did in ancient times. And, you know, we look at the decline of our country, and, you know, you can pinpoint when Roe v. Wade was passed into law that was a deciding point in our country where the decline really started. And if he were to do that, I think that would be, you know, even higher than in the eyes of the politicians, even higher than removing or revoking Obamacare, because this is these people's worship to their God, to their devil. So in him trying to stop that, I think he would face much much more violent opposition in trying to do so.
And you know what? Just to add on to what you said, Joe and Greg, I don't think people really understand the WikiLeaks emails that have come out, the Podesta emails that have come out that talk about spirit cooking, for example. I know this is kind of going on a tangent, but I think people really need to understand this, that this is they're worshiping a different God than we are. And when you look at, when you contextualize abortion and you contextualize the homosexual agenda, you put it in the context of that frame of worship and understand who we're dealing with here, then you'll understand that most people don't understand or don't get the fact that there's a tremendous disparity, things that are happening well above their level of observation and understanding. I don't know if that made sense, but the fact is, as you pointed out, the sanctity of life against Planned Parenthood and the sanctity of life that to rid America of this abortion epidemic. The powers, whether you believe it or not, they've that's a sacrifice. And I don't want to take your time up, but the fact is,
absolutely,
you know, people aren't looking.
No.
Properly.
I mean, look, you've had guessed it. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yep.
You guys have had guest after guest on your show, from Russ Dizdar to Paul McGuire, and they articulate a lot better than I do. Steve Quayle, which is that you hit the nail on the head, Doug, and people need to understand this, that these are Satanists at the upper echelons. They're in high places, and they understand that it's all in the blood. I mean, you had Dr. Ted Brewer talking about this and others, and it is all about the blood. And this is what empowers them. They need the blood of the babies. They need to drink the blood. And I'm sorry if this is a little too colorful for the show tonight, but it really goes to the heart of the matter, that it's really an issue of life or death. You know, and we talked a lot about before the election, choose this day, you know, life or death. And I think that's in large part what this election was about in a lot of ways. And people say, oh, Greg, you're still talking about abortion. I mean, come on, it's a social issue. It's not as important as the economy and jobs. And, you know, it's a states' rights issue and all this stuff. And the bottom line is, I couldn't disagree more. The most fundamental right that human beings possess is the God-given right to life. And if the church won't stand for the protection of the most fundamental right that God gives all of humanity, from the very moment we're conceived until the very moment that we die, then I don't believe that there's any real hope for our country. Because the most fundamental right that we have, that we possess, is the right to live our own lives. And so this is why I've always said, like you said, Doug, it's a spiritual issue. As much as it is a moral and ethical issue, it's a spiritual issue. And Satan knows this. That's why Satan loves it when we agree to even one baby dying. I mean, if we had a law in this country that said, we're going to outlaw, if Barack Obama or even if Donald Trump came out and said, we're going to outlaw every abortion in this country, except once a year, we're going to have one baby. And we're going to kill that baby and sacrifice that baby, but just one. We're going to save 1.5, you know, million babies, but one, we're going to sacrifice that baby. And most people would say, oh, well, that, you know, we'd save 1.5 million if we'd agree to kill just that one. But let me ask you a question. What if that one was your son or daughter? Would you still agree to that? If that one were your son or daughter, let me ask you another question. Did Jesus leave the 99 to save the one, or did he leave the one to save the 99?
He left the 99 to save the one.
He left the 90 because each one in God's eyes, everyone is that vital. He died for every person in this world, for all of the sins of this world. for God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son, that those who would believe on him would not perish but have eternal life. He died for everyone because you're that important. And I believe, Doug, that this is a spiritual issue, and it's incumbent upon the church to pray for Donald Trump and to pray for those surrounding him, that he would realize the sense of urgency, that Satan really doesn't care how high the border fence is. He doesn't care how low the tax rates are. He doesn't care how high the tariffs we impose on Chinese imports are. But what he really cares about is whether we're going to protect and defend human life. That really gets to Satan. And you're right, Doug, and you're right, Joe. If Donald Trump did actually do his job, and he did enforce the God-given right to life for all innocent human persons when individual states failed to do so, per the explicit provisions of the 5th and 14th Amendment, all hell would break loose. But we're told in the Bible that we're to storm the gates of hell with a vengeance. And as Paul McGuire so aptly said the other day, I believe Caleb's report, I believe Joshua and Caleb's report, that our enemies are minuscule little rodents. They're little ants. They're nothing for God-infused, spirit-filled Christians who know their God and are willing to stand on the truth of God's word in obedience to him. And that's how we are to live. So I want to encourage listeners, because I know we only have a few minutes left in this segment, lift Donald Trump up in prayer. Give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know about all of the picks. I know some of them are spotty. Yes, some of them are globalists. Let's look at the big picture. What would it look like, guys, in the spiritual realm, if a million Hagman and Hagman listeners from all over the world lifted him up in prayer and in fasting and prayed, like I know a lot of people prayed for me when I was unsaved? What would that look like in the spiritual realm, in the powers and principalities above, where these spiritual battles are fought? And I would say to you that I don't know if God is done with America. Maybe Donald Trump is God's tool for judgment on us. I don't know for sure. But I will say it doesn't change what we as Christians are supposed to do. As you say, Doug, we're supposed to play our positions. We're supposed to stand in the gap. We're supposed to pray furiously, unceasingly. We're supposed to be full of the Holy Spirit in the Word. We're supposed to be serving others, blessing our enemies. This is what we were called to do in the last hour. And I want to leave your listeners with this, guys. Christmas is how many days away? 10 days away. This year, I'm not sure if you guys know this, but Hanukkah, and you know, and maybe some of your listeners have heard me. By the way, 7 years, guys, I've been on your show. Almost 8 years, and I want to thank you. I think over 100 times I've been on your show. I consider you guys family. This isn't, I always am very thankful and grateful for any opportunity I have to come on your show to share my heart. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. And guys, in the audience, let's come together. Let's support the Hagmans. I know you guys have advertisers. I love all your advertisers, by the way. But let's come together at the end of the year and support these guys. I don't care what, you know, financially, what we can give, but search your hearts. This isn't a guilt trip, but let's search our hearts and let's support what the family is doing, because this is all of us. This isn't just Joe and Doug and JD and John and the people that are doing this full time. This is all of us listening, coming together. This is the family, Mishkopa, Hebrew for, you know, these are friends in family. That's what I consider you guys, and I just wanted to say thank you for having me on and always giving me opportunity to share my heart. And I want to leave your listeners with this, guys. Hanukkah is celebrated for the first time in, I believe, my lifetime, on the same day Christmas is celebrated. Now, for some of your listeners who don't know about Hanukkah, it's the feast of the rededication of the temple. We've talked about the many of the festivals and Jewish feasts and celebrations on your show many times. Some of your listeners know I'm a Jewish believer, what some would call a completed Jew. Came to faith in 2001, shortly before 9/11. And if any of your listeners are familiar with the Hanukkah that you see, it's a nine-branch candle, and it's got eight smaller candles and then one above the others, nine branches total. Well, the one that's higher than the others is called the Shamash candle, or the servant candle. and it lights the other candles from right to left on every night of Hanukkah, the eight nights of Hanukkah, for people who, and by the way, Hanukkah is only mentioned in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, not even in the Old Testament. Jesus celebrated it. It was the feast of the rededication of the temple. And the cool thing, guys, and I want to think about this, and this should bring a smile to your face. Jesus said that I am the light of the world. And of course, the Shamash candle, he came to serve too. And that Shamash candle is a servant candle. It gives light to the other candles. And that's what Jesus does for us who believe in him. He's our light. If there's any light in us, it's him. Jesus is the light. And he said, we'll never live in darkness when we receive his light. And this year, guys, Hanukkah, the feast of the rededication of the temple, the day that we commemorate that oil that was only supposed to last for one day, lasting 8 days miraculously, falls on the same day that our blessed Savior, our Lord and Savior, the Jewish Messiah, the Savior of the world, Jew and Gentile alike, Yeshua HaMashiach, came into this world. And of course, I know that he probably wasn't born on December 25th. But that's the day that we celebrate it, and I do have a Christmas tree. I'm guilty as charged, and I love my Christmas tree and the ornaments. And I look at those ornaments, and they're the light of the world. And the lights on the candle, that represents, I believe, and I'm teaching my son, it's the light of the world. But I want your listeners to just think about this. The light of the world came into the world in the flesh 2,000 years ago, and we celebrate his birthday, the day that the light of the world came into the world on Christmas. It's my favorite time of year. I say Merry Christmas to everybody. I want them to know the good news. And there are two groups of people that are listening to this show tonight. One, you are a professing believer. You're a born-again believer. And the Bible says, John 3:3, you must be born again. You must repent of your sins and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that when we receive him by faith, that we are saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, by God's grace alone. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And so if you're a saved, born-again believer, I want you to be encouraged the days in which we're living in. I pray that you would pray for your enemies, that you would pray for a revival in our nation, that you would not succumb to a spirit of fear or of a spirit of fatalism, because we know that Christianity does not teach fatalism. And if you are not a believer and you're listening to this show, I don't care if you listen to it on archive, if you're listening to it live, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for you, because the light did come into the world and the Bible is true. And Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He is the only way to the Father in heaven. And that's the truth. And the spirit of the times and the Oprah Winfrey gospel and Joel Osteen, who doesn't want to judge anybody, and Rick Warren, who says that Muslims and Christians worship the same God, it's a lie. There's only one God. He's the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Jesus Christ. He sent his son to die for you, and he died 2,000 years ago on that cross in Calvary. He shed his blood for you. And as we said earlier, Joe and Doug, it's all about the blood. If you are not covered by his blood, then your sins are not forgiven. And God forbid, if you die tonight, you will not spend eternity in heaven. It's that, and I'm sorry if it sounds narrow-minded, but Jesus said, narrow is the way and few find it. Broad is the road to destruction. My prayer for you, if you're listening tonight, if you're not sure you're saved, or if you know for sure you're not saved, may tonight be the night, or today be the day of salvation for you, that you would repent of your sins, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, believe on the name of the Lord, and be saved.
Amen. Thank you so much, Greg. Amen. We are at the end of our program, or end of our segment. GregJackson.com is the website. God bless you, Greg. Have a great night. We'll be right back.
You guys. Thanks.
We'll be right back with Josh Peck right after this.